And we're back in the room.
Here we are.
Here we are. So, we've just gone through kind of how some of the basics of Windows Azure, virtual networks, disks, storage, affinity groups, and all that kind of thing. And it's great using the Windows Azure portal, really intuitive, easy to use, but it doesn't lend itself to automation. And a lot of how we get good at our jobs is automating everything we do with Windows Azure. So we want to take maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes, just dig into some of the PowerShell things. So if we flip across to my slides, let's talk a little bit about PowerShell and how it fits together with Windows Azure and some of the things you can do, and then we'll go into some demos and get you started on how to get that set up. So PowerShell basically accesses the same API, the same REST API, that the portal accesses. And this is very important because what it means is, subject to Microsoft actually writing the command, we can actually do everything in the portal through a script. And in fact, when we join some of the scripts together, and we can actually do some everything David showed you kind of in one line, right? I always love PowerShell. Everything's one line.
It's right? always, I mean, yeah, it's one line. You just do the pipe command, so, and you just, there, you're good to go.
We can
right?
create VMs, add disks, open up endpoints, join them to domains, all in kind of one file swoop, if you like. And remember, we also have remote PowerShell enabled as well. So even once the virtual machine is created, we can actually go in there and start adding roles to it. So maybe we could create a VM, add IIS as a role, and so on. We can also manage the virtual network and storage with the PowerShell, as well as all of the other services that you see in the portal, we can do that with as well. So that's my 77 slides on PowerShell. I hope you enjoyed them.
There's a lot of resources out there on PowerShell, there is. And we're not here to train you on what is Windows PowerShell, but we are here to get you started in connecting to Windows PowerShell and knowing the pieces to where once you get started, you're ready to just fire away with all of your PowerShell knowledge remotely.
Yeah. Although I did start off my career at Microsoft being the PowerShell evangelist.
Oh, there you go.
I think I've forgotten more of that. Yay! applause. I remember PowerShell V1. The studio audience, by the way, are applauding. Everyone's looking around going, what audience? So let's jump into the demo machine, and we'll kind of show you how to get started with PowerShell and some of the things you've got to work through. The first thing, and this is a step I've already done, I've been to the WindowsAzure.com website, and I've downloaded the PowerShell commandlet. So you can do this using Web API, WebPI tool as well. Now, I was talking to someone and they tried it yesterday while I was talking, and they said, David, it makes me download a whole bunch of stuff too. So yeah, the PowerShell commandlets have some dependencies on some libraries that it needs to be able to work with storage and work with compute. So don't be surprised that it drags down a few more bits and pieces. But once it's on and installed, there is still another step before you can get going. And this is connecting up your machine to your subscription. Because we can't, you know, PowerShell isn't going to behind the scenes open up Internet Explorer and start doing things. It's going to communicate across that REST API. And the way we secure that is through a management certificate. And the easiest way to go and get that management certificate is to actually use the PowerShell commandlets get Azure Publishing Profile. And I think I said that right. But fortunately, for us old people in the room, PowerShell helps us by doing the autocomplete. So if I type get Azure Publisher Settings File, just rolls off the tongue, what it's going to do is send me to the Windows Azure portal. So it's a good idea to actually be logged in at this point, and it's actually, yes, I've been logged in, but I've also been signed out. And what that's going to do is it's going to hit a page and make me download a file. And I already have a file downloaded, so we don't have to worry about that. And it basically gives you a publisher settings file, and here's one here, and it's imaginatively named a whole bunch of things on there, .publisher settings file. This is very similar to the publisher settings file that we have for just standard IIS kind of deployments. So you might already be familiar with that. Once we've got that, what we do is we do import Azure Publisher Settings file, and we'd also specify a name. So we'd pick a name there, and that would go and import them in. And I'm not going to run that command because I've already done it. There's a few things I won't do in a live demo, and importing, that's one of them. Once you've done that, you can then do get Azure subscription. And I'm going to just format it as a table. And this gives me a list of all of the subscriptions that I have. And as you can see, mostly because I don't pay any bill, I have a few subscriptions on there. And we're going to actually going to hit refresh on that so we can get that. But we're going to work in a couple of subscriptions, mostly the My Data Center subscription here. And we'll, when the portal loads, we'll show that. So we're on a mission. We want to create a VM and not touch the web interface.
There so, we go. Let's do it.
Let's do it. And I'm going to type in the commands mostly.
Okay.
So the first thing is, if you remember going through that wizard, we had to pick an image from the gallery. So one of the things you have to figure out is, if I do get Azure VM image and format that as a table, I'm going to get this big, huge list of images that are available to me to create virtual machines from. It takes a few seconds to load, and you'll see why in a moment, because we have a whole ton of images available from different versions from different vendors. And you have to kind of really go and get the image name and maybe the OS on there. And I know all you PowerShell junkies are going to... I can't remember what the column was called now. We'll see if that works. And what was the column called? Oh, yes, OS. So that gives us the kind of image names there and which OS it is. So we're looking for a Windows one. You can see we've got some Windows data center images here. Now, what I would do usually is write a little script that grabs the image name. But I'm a total chicken today, and I actually made a script earlier that will build me a VM. So I'm going to walk through. I told you I'd mostly type the commands.
That's all
but there's
right.
always a bit of like...
We'll forgive you for
There's
now.
Always a bit of like, am I going to spend 5 minutes trying to remember that one last parameter that I just doesn't roll off the tongue? So let's walk through this. So first of all, that Get Azure Subscription FT, which gives us a list of subscriptions, one of the columns is default. And you can see I've currently set this to my data center, and the default storage account is portal VHDS bloody bloody bloody. It's important that you set a storage account for the subscription, because when you start uploading VHDs or creating VHDs, it needs to have a default storage account to go and do this against. And you set this up using the set Azure subscription command, and you can say right for subscription name, my data center. And I'm actually going to spell this wrong because I want to point out something to you. And then you can specify current storage account, and you would do in some like foo thingy, whatever like that. This command's not going to work, just telling you. So when I run that, oh my gosh, it didn't give me an error though. Oh, that's awkward. Has it really? Has said a foo thingy disaster. Perhaps we fixed that. great. How to wreck a demo and where does he go? So what I've done is I've basically set my default default subscription to my data center, set the storage account to foo thingy, which doesn't exist. So every command I run now is going to utterly fail. So with that in mind, I'm going to set my default subscription to Contoso Dev 2, and that will make everything fine again. Now, the next thing, we already showed the list of images. So I kind of went in earlier and I grabbed the name of the image there. Now, as a quiz, when you meet David or I in the street and we ask you, hey, what's the image name? If you can recite the GUID and the whole image name, we'll give you something for free, I think. I don't know, what, maybe fun. Just a hug.
And also, if you look at in your slide, there's a demo, a hands-on lab on GitHub, and that will give you the steps to automate getting the latest Windows Server 2012 image.
Yeah.
So there's some tricks there that you can do to just automatically, if you want to deploy the latest one, follow the labs in the link that we that you have in the deck.
Totally.
Yep.
And this, by the way, you can see my password here. This is the only script that I actually use this password in. So it don't go around trying to get my kind of bank account details and thinking that's my name, my password, or anything like that. On there.
Fish cake too. That's a popular one, huh?
Yeah. Don't ask me what comes in my head when this goes on. So let's go and have a look at this command then. So the first thing is we've got a new Azure VM config. So we're going to create a configuration. And once we've built that up and added everything we need to it, we're then going to create a VM based upon that. So the first thing we do is we go and give the VM a name. We go and specify an instance size. And let me just get all of that on the screen so you can kind of stare at it and follow along a little bit. And then we have to give it an image name, which is A699. I'm not going to read that. And then we go and pipe that into an Azure provisioning config. Now, this is a pretty kind of cool commandlet because not only we can say, hey, this is going to be Windows OS, and here's the administrator name and the password, we can also do things like, if I can bring up the list of options here, I can do things like enable remote PowerShell. I can say, no, I don't want to have an endpoint. I can disable automatic updates. But I can also, I think the switch for it, specify X509 certificates if I'm doing a Linux distro, reset first password on first logon, all those kind of things. Then the last thing we want to do is we add an Azure endpoint. Now, an Azure endpoint is essentially going to open up the firewall port in Windows Azure to allow port 80 traffic, in this case, into the local port 80 traffic. And this is something that you kind of have to keep in mind. When we create a virtual machine for you, we only open up the ports that you ask us to. Now, this isn't the ports in the virtual machine itself. You still control that with the Windows firewall. These are the ports that come in from the external kind of outside public internet, mm-hmm. if you like.
Yeah. One of the questions that somebody asked was, what if I remove RDP access? Well, you still have access to the management console. You still would have access if you've set it up to the PowerShell, in which case you can just go back in and re-add the RDP yeah. link to it and now connect up
Absolutely.
Again.
And if you have a virtual network and you connect locally to the virtual network, either through the VPN connection or the point to site, you can actually turn off all of the external ports and just access it from the internal network. And we'll kind of show that as we move through the day there. We also have the ability to set up a load balance set. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this as in the next kind of 5 or 10 minutes. And we specify how the load balancer should figure out if your machine is still alive. Now, this is particularly important. If you go and deploy a couple of virtual machines behind a load balancer, we want to make sure that they're running. And you can tell us, you can help us figure that out by specifying the probe port and the probe protocol. And the final thing we do here is we go and say, right, go and create me a new Azure VM. We have to give it a service name. We have to give it a location. In this case, we're going East US 2. And then we've got this great switch as wait for boot. What that's going to do is it's going to sit at this command until the virtual machine's been created. And this is great for when you have scripts that create a virtual machine and then remote PowerShell into it to install extra roles. And finally, we'll specify the VM config that we want to use. So I'm going to be super brave here, and I'm going to shouldn't have to be super brave, but I'm going to highlight this and I'm going to hit run. It's going to go and create that virtual machine. Now, there's a few things that could go wrong here. One of them is someone might have already created something called MVA Demo VM. Remember, the service name is a .cloudapp.net. This has to be unique in the DNS space. So that's one thing that could go kind of horribly wrong. The great news is we actually have a commandlet that can test for names. So I didn't do it in here, but we have a command that you can use for that. Now, I do kind of want to show, while that's running, I do want to show another commandlet and just show you some of the more kind of advanced kind of things here. And basically what this does is it's a script that creates multiple, more than one, in fact, it creates five virtual machines, and it puts them all behind the same load balanced endpoint. And this is just a for loop. And what we have, we specify the VM name. We're using a little variable here to increment that. We go and create a new Azure VM. We go and add an endpoint of HTTP. We call it HTTP, port 80 to port 80. Once we do that, we go and wait for boot. And then we actually go and remote PowerShell into this. And then we start invoking some PowerShell to go and basically import the server manager module. And then we go and install the Windows feature, and we go and install the web server feature.
So there we go.
And remember, once that VM exists, we can remote desktop in, or we can remote PowerShell in, and then it's just the same. It's just the same as Windows on-premises or anywhere else.
Yeah, and remember earlier when you first created those VMs in the console, it was really as simple as check the checkbox, leave it on by default, enable remote PowerShell, and then that opens up that port on Windows Azure to allow you to be able to connect back in.
Yeah. So if we flip back to the demo machine, we've got the port loaded up. And here's the kind of five VMs that were created. We actually did this as a demo yesterday, and I'm going to dig into one of these and just point out a couple of things to tie back some of the things David talked about earlier. So the first one is around this high availability and endpoints kind of thing. And if I jump on here, we do have a load balanced endpoint here, port 80. And if I click on VM1, I do have the same load balanced endpoint. And VM2 has the same load balanced endpoint, and VM3, we could go on all day like this, couldn't we? VM4, I should have created 100. That would have been funnier. And if I go and grab the DNS name for that and go and paste it in here, then what's going to happen is I'm going to hit a particular virtual machine. Now, what we've done is part of that script actually customizes each one of the IIS default sites by changing the color of an image that we've loaded on here. So if we kind of hit refresh, eventually. We'll kind of go through this. Now, it depends on the web browser you're using. They all behave a little bit differently on how they handle connections and that type of thing. What we've noticed with IE is you can sit and hit Control R or F5, and sometimes you get back to the same one, which is what I'm doing here. Sometimes it gives you another virtual machine. Over there, we've got zero. So, you know, you get these kind of semi-sticky sessions. We kind of have a best effort. Some of the web browsers will give you a different experience, and you'll always end up hitting the same virtual machine, which is kind of a little bit weird on that. But all of these machines, and you can see we've got some activity on these, all these virtual machines were created using the PowerShell script that we just had up here on there. We copied down these different images. And it's just PowerShell, so the cool thing we do at the end is we actually go and display IE at the end.
There we go.
Which is kind of neat. Now, if we go and flip back to this one that we started running earlier, you can see we're still kind of chomping ahead, creating the virtual machine. The script essentially has stopped here because we've said wait for boot. Kind of reasonable. And it takes a few minutes for us to boot. Have we talked through what happens when we spin up a virtual machine?
Have not really talked about that.
Kind of blur.
No, that's right.
In my mind. So while this is booting up, it's interesting just to kind of talk through this, and then we'll see the results. But when we take that image out of the gallery, we copy it into your storage account, and then we spin the virtual machine up. And that image has been sysprepped, and David even showed how to sysprep that. So then kind of what happens is it's got to go through its first boot as a sysprep virtual machine. So it boots up, does all its little sys-preppy things, and then reboots, and then it's ready to kind of connect there. And that's why it takes, you know, 5-6 minutes to kind of get going on that. And this is obviously no different from spinning up a virtual machine from a sys-prepped image on-premises. which, you know, it's just a little bit of time we've got to wait on there. I have had a complete foobar when I've created my filters and not actually clicked the right button. So when I flip to the portal, and if we flip back to my demo machine, one other thing we may as well show you while we're in here and waiting for this virtual machine to appear, is if I click down on subscriptions, you can see that I've got a whole number of subscriptions, but I'm only displaying my empty demo and my data center ones on there. I could go and explore another subscription by ticking the box there, clicking on apply, and that would bring in more kind of data there. One thing I want to kind of do on this one is just show you, I'm going to enable my other account for this. So I'm going to just go into the bill, and I want to show you a few of my bills, because it's exciting.
Okay, give me some bills. Let's see what kind of charges you got going on.
So I've got some great ones. We're doing some performance testing on SharePoint and things, and if I actually dig into that one, the guys have gone hell of a leather on this, and you can see how much compute hours, 4,900 compute hours used this month so far. On that, so that's pretty.
Wow, pretty really pounding away on that one. Yeah,
yeah. I'm dreading the conversation with my boss where he kind of shows me the bill and asks me to explain what's going on there. But I'm going to go into Contoso Dev 2, and I'm actually going to modify the subscription details, and I'm actually going to change the service administrator here to LeeDavidAiken@outlook.com on here. So even though I created the subscription earlier and put the service administrator in, I can go in and change that on there. Now, hopefully what happens now is when I hit refresh here, in fact, when I hit refresh here, it'll take a few seconds to load up, but I should get that other subscription appearing, and then we'll actually see the virtual machine be created rather than just staring at some PowerShell that isn't doing anything. So it's always fun what you can do while you're waiting for stuff to appear. But that's Contoso Dev 2. We'll just kind of go on. Actually, why don't we leave those on? We'll click on apply there, and that's going to do its refreshing, and fingers crossed, it will all be happy and come up there.
You can also, by the way, you can also create images, using PowerShell too. So, you know,
totally.
So, like, if you look at back on my previous session, I gave you a link there how to create an image using that as well. So, if you want to remote, you can do everything using remote PowerShell. So, you know, if you connect up in, install roles, configure services, and then generalize it using sysprep, shut it down, and then let it once it, you know, then make sure you sys, you know, put an image as the up in the cloud, all using PowerShell. It's like all kinds of power to do things.
Totally. And that image, by the way, if we just real quick flip back to the demo machine, the images, the virtual machines, because you said image twice, the virtual machine's being created, and as you can see, I've run the commandlet get Azure VM, which gives me a list of VMs in that subscription, and you can see that service name, MVA, demo VM, is all ready to rock and roll. And as we speak, people are now logging into it as David Aiken and Fishcake 2 and compromising the machine and launching all sorts of attacks elsewhere in the world. So we might shut this VM down very shortly.
We might want to delete it.
Now, deleting is kind of one of my funnest scripts ever. And I actually have a little kind of subscription script here that goes through and deletes a whole bunch of things. And basically, it's kind of working through everything backwards. We go and set up the current subscription. We go and remove, we go and get all the Azure VMs and pipe that into remove Azure VM. Then what happens then is it deletes the virtual machine, but it actually leaves the cloud service behind. And this is because you can have multiple virtual machines in that cloud service. In fact, if I flip back into this screen, this IIS VM 0 through 4, if I click on the, you'll see here, if I click on the cloud service, it actually has demo IIS reviewers, which was the demo we did yesterday. And if I dig in here, we'll actually see, fingers crossed, the instances running here. So viewing the cloud service gives me this kind of high-level view of everything going on there. And now that's great. Let's just flip back to virtual machines. And you can see I've got my MVA demo VM 01-blah-de-blah-de, and it's in the subscription Contorso Dev 2. So I'm going to run this little script now, and it's going to remove everything. So remove the VM, remove the service, and then there's a kind of funky thing that happens when we delete a VM. It doesn't delete the VHDs.
Yes. This is a new concept for most IT pros out there.
Yeah.
Is the fact you when you delete a VHD, you're deleting
essentially a link to it.
Yeah, you're deleting the link to it. So you're deleting the compute usage, is the way I like to say.
Yes.
Because right, you're now not getting charged for compute once it's deleted, but the disk is still there exactly how you left it.
Totally.
And the one other thing that I think that's important to point out too is, it's scary when you click delete because usually that means hey, I'm blowing this thing up, I'm getting rid of it. But it does do a graceful shutdown as well, right?
Yeah.
So you'll do that graceful shutdown and you can pick it right back up again.
Yeah.
And so you're all set.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. And kind of in the portal, and let's just show this real quick. Here's my list of virtual machines. We'll run the script and this will start deleting. And in fact, why don't we do that? While this is on, this is kind of like live removing of everything. Oops. I've just run a comment. Did you see that? It was awesome. So I'm going to run that that script. This is going to start deleting. While it is, let's go and view the disks. And here you can see all the disks that I've either got attached to a VM or aren't attached to a VM. This one is ours here, MVA demo VM, blah-de-blah-de-blah-de. So long as Windows Azure thinks this is attached to a virtual machine, it will not delete it. It won't allow you to delete it. So we've got to kind of, in the script, have this little loop where it says, hey, are you still attached? If you are, then let's go to sleep, and then we'll ask you again and see if you're attached. And once we've detached from the disk, we can actually remove it and remove the VHD as well, which is pretty darn neat on that. So. We'll let that run. It clears up my account very nicely. It's going through now, removing the VM. If we flip back to the portal, this is like trying to catch it and trying to catch a portal refresh and the machine deleting at the same time. So sometimes the VM just disappears when we're using PowerShell on that. But that's kind of what we wanted to show you from the PowerShell perspective, I think. We kind of need to connect it up to your subscription. We get the publisher settings file and import it. And then once you've done that, you can run all sorts of commands to get virtual machines, get storage accounts, build virtual machines, delete them, do everything you kind of need. In fact, you never need to go back into the portal ever again. If you do, the portal is hitting the same REST API. And the portal doesn't kind of keep doing this kind of like, let's refresh all the time. So you're going to find that you can run commands and they complete before the portal kind of catches up. So don't kind of get all upset that the portal hasn't done something or your PowerShell command hasn't worked. It's quite often just everything kind of catching up on there. Now, throughout the rest of the day, we're going to show you a whole bunch of more scripting in PowerShell. In fact, a lot of the more complicated things that we're going to show you, the more sophisticated things we're going to show you, we'll use PowerShell scripts to go and do it, because by the time we've clicked through the portal and kind of done it, it'll be like next Tuesday or something like that. So we're going to keep coming back to PowerShell and adding more commands in and showing you more kind of features around the scripting side of things.
Yeah. So to kind of wrap that up, I mean, I would say so far these first three modules have been overview of Azure, giving you some fundamental building blocks to start out. After this, we're going to now, as you see in the agenda, we're going to start building things on top of Azure and giving you the unique things you need to know about each of those workloads for Windows Azure. So this is where it starts to get even more fun.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. With that, I think we're going to wrap this up, right?
Yeah. We're done with PowerShell, our intro to PowerShell on Windows Azure there. And my goodness me, I'm a little bit ahead of time.
Woohoo!
We can do a hero pose
Scott.
For a moment. Yes, cool. I think we're going to take a meal break now.
Yeah, perhaps. Why don't you just stay tuned for what you see on the screen? All right.
Awesome.
Food.
Food. Okay.
We'll see you shortly.
See you shortly.
Thank you.